want to take out just a tithe envelope there in front of you or whatever if you want to jot down. There's five things that I just want to say tonight as we look at the subject of the supernatural. What was birthed in my heart just a couple weeks ago is that question. That would just grab me that morning that I was looking at Genesis chapter 18. And when Abraham and Sarah have waited 24 years and there's still no baby on the way, and they've already stepped out of really what God's ultimate plan was. We know for who the promised son was to be. It certainly was not Ishmael, but it was Isaac. And then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why is that woman laughing in that tent behind us?" I mean, you remember the moment, right? Why is she laughing? Is anything, say that with me tonight, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Any wonder that the Word of God is filled with miracles? I did a quick little check, and I don't know how accurate these kind of things are, but just to try to measure how many miracles are in the Old Testament, they guesstimate over 50 real specific direct miracles, and we know there's many more things that God does in the Old Testament, but there are 50 miraculous things that God does, beginning early in Genesis and Exodus. As we walk through the Old Testament, New Testament, of course, we get up to over 300 miracles. How many believe that God is a miracle-working God tonight? That is what our focus is tonight. I was reading this week through the life of Elijah. Didn't plan that. That just happens to be where I'm at in my annual reading, and it just was a perfect reading. You love the life of Elijah. It only extends over five chapters of Scripture, but it is just one miracle after another. If you have Bibles and want to turn there, I'm just going to kind of walk through them a little bit if you want to follow through tonight. But 1 Kings chapter 16 is where we are introduced to the King Ahab, and he has this wonderful distinction of being that he was the king who had done more evil and did more to provoke the Lord's anger than any king who had come before him. And his wife's name was Jezebel. A terribly dark season in Israel's history. But how often is it that in those dark moments for God's people that God would raise up someone such as we have chapter 17 then, Elijah. And Elijah's introduced. Immediately we see that nothing is too hard for the Lord because we begin to see this series of supernatural events. First of all, the famine comes, and Elijah goes to Ahab, and he says to him, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next few years except by my word." How many know that takes a lot of gall? But already we see Elijah as a wonderful man of faith. And he says, "It won't drop a drip. It won't even be dew on the ground until I say that there's going to be." Verse number 2, the word came to Elijah and said, "Get out of there." How many know God's smart? That's the very next verse. God says, "I want you out of here." Why? He wanted to protect Elijah. He says, "I'm sending you down to Kereth Ravine, and I want you to drink from the brook there, and I'm going to send ravens that are going to feed you." And it says, every morning and every night, ravens would arrive with meat and bread for Elijah. How many believe in a miracle-working God? Every morning, every night, and he drank from the brook. Then we move on to verse number 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land, exactly what Elijah had said. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, "I want you to go now at once to Zarephath of Sidon, and I want you to stay there, and I've commanded a widow there who's going to provide for you." And you remember the story, the little widow, she's picking up sticks, and Elijah goes to her and says, "Could you give me some water?" And as she goes to get him water, what little I'm sure that she had, it says, then he said, "And by the way, bring me some bread." And she turns to him and says, "I don't have enough for you. All I have left is a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour. I'm going to go back and make my last bit of bread. My son and I will eat of that, and then we are going to die." And Elijah says, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make it for me. And then make it for you and your son." How egotistical and selfish is that, huh? But it was a test of faith for that woman. And she obeys Elijah, and she goes home, and she takes that little bit of flour and that little oil in that jug, and she begins to make it, and she first provides for the prophet of God. And then just as the word of Elijah was, it says then, "As for the jar of flour was not used up, the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord, all the way until the rain began to fall, God provided miraculously for that little widow woman as she took care of God's business." Isn't that a beautiful story in Scripture? Sometime later, it says, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill, and she called for Elijah, and she said, why have you caused trouble for me? Why has the Lord done this to me? My son has died. And he said, give me your son. And he takes his son upstairs, right? And he goes and he prays to the Lord. And then it says he extends himself, his body, over that boy 3 different times. And he prays. The boy comes back to life. And he takes that boy back down, presents the boy to his mother. And then she says, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. Then we move along. And it says, after a long time, in the 3rd year now of that famine, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, go and present yourself to Ahab the king. And so Elijah does that. We pass through that story and we come then at the end of that chapter, we move into the next chapter, and it's where he stands at Mount Carmel with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. And they're standing there, 850 against one. And you remember the incredible miracle that God did as Elijah in faith stood there before them, and he said, you call upon your God, and you build that altar, and they do, and he lets them go for hours and make fools of themselves praying to a dead God. And then Elijah stood forward, had them pour water on top of his altar just to make it a greater miracle, stack the odds against his God. And then he prayed a simple prayer, and the Lord answered him and consumed that altar with fire. And all of Israel turned back to Jehovah God in a split second. Can you say praise God? What a great moment in Israel. They were so far from God, but in that instant they turn, and Elijah says, go and seize those prophets, and they put every one of them to death. Elijah then said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. And meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, and a wind rose, and a heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Just before that, remember, Elijah says to his servant, you see any rain yet? He says, no. And there on Mount Carmel, remember, Elijah put his head between his knees, and he prayed. Then he said, is there any rain? He said, no. 7 times he sent him back. Elijah knew that God was going to bring rain. And on the 7th time, he says, I think I see a little cloud in the sky. And Elijah knew it was coming. He says, Ahab, we better get ready. And then he ran the power of God. Remember, and he beat the chariot all the way. Later then, Elijah has the incredible encounter on Mount Horeb with God. And this is really the end of his story, near the end, at Mount Horeb. And the Lord says, get ready, I'm going to pass by. And remember, initially, the powerful wind blew by, a powerful wind, but the Lord was not in it. An earthquake shook, the Lord was not in it. Fire fell, the Lord was not in it. And then came, say it with me, that still, small voice. What a beautiful lesson for us. God then gives him encouragement, says, Elijah, my hand is upon you. Here's who I want you to anoint as the next king of Israel. Who's going to be the next prophet in Israel? Elisha. And he just lays out the future for Elijah. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Look to the screen if you will. And I just give you a little recount of Elijah's life. But I love this verse. You've heard me quote it a few times. I love this verse of scripture. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of scripture, we might have hope. Everything we read, I just took Elijah. We could go through the life of Elisha, right? The double mantle that was upon him. And in essence, and often it's said that he did double the miracles of what Elijah had done. We could go back to God's amazing deliverance of the Israelites out of Egypt, the 10 plagues that God brought, the redemption, the rolling back of the Red Sea. We serve an incredible God tonight. And all of that is there to teach us and to encourage us in Scripture. But you know that other E word there, not only to encourage us, but that through what? Through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. In other words, we're going to go through trials. That's why many of you are here tonight. That's why I feel in my own heart tonight. I've got my own stack of prayer requests wanting someone to pray for me. Carl and I have our own needs tonight. How many of you have a need that you need God to intervene in your life? Let me see your hand. We're believing God tonight. Amen? The same God that did all of these things. We look to the past. We look to the scriptures that have been written. And Paul says, through our endurance as we go through the trials, but the encouragement of scripture, we have hope tonight that God will do great things for us. I have 5 things that I want to touch on tonight if you want to jot these down. A couple of them are a little bit longer statements. They're just simple statements, things that God laid on my heart. Number one is this, the most wonderful premise of all. The most wonderful premise of all, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That comforts my heart as we come to pray for one another. Jesus hasn't changed. The immutability of God. God is the same. The same God that led Elijah. The same God that shocked that widow woman. The same God that brought judgment upon Ahab and Jezebel. The same God who moved upon Israel of old. The same God who brought his son to this earth. That God, Jesus his son, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. Does that encourage you when you look back in the past then to know the same God that we pray to tonight is the God who Elijah prayed to, who Elijah heard from, who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob served? Jesus is the same, say it with me, yesterday and today and forever. Second thing is this, just because I don't see the miraculous on a normal basis does not negate the historical, redemptive, supernatural reality of Scripture. Just because I don't see it does in no way negate what God's Word says. What happened historically, what happened supernaturally, what happened in a redemptive manner. Again, Romans chapter 15. We say, then why is there a gap then? Why are there times that we don't see God answer prayer? And as I just shared with a woman right before tonight, realizing they had been praying for months, and as I went into the prayer room and I began to pray for her and that situation to say, God, why? Why the delay? There are reasons. Let's just consider a few things tonight. It could be how unaware we are sometimes of the supernatural struggle that's constantly taking place. We have to realize we are in a battle tonight, a struggle with the enemy. We're not patty cake, patty cake. We are going against the enemy in our lives. And there are times, remember the struggle that Daniel had in prayer and the delay of 21 days. Why? Because of what was happening in the spiritual realm. And so as we pray and at times may grow a little bit discouraged in our prayer, we have to realize we have to stand against the enemy of our souls. Times of deliverance, many times we're unaware of how many times God has worked or we didn't even know it. Angels unaware. I believe with all my heart that God has preserved every one of us at times where the enemy had something in mind and the Lord raised up a standard like a flood against the enemy. We didn't even know it, but God was there for us. His angels are doing his work and his bidding. Oh, we need to thank God for his angels. Second reason is that we can somehow sometimes be distracted in life and we miss the supernatural things. Many times the very things that God does. Greg Beggs will be here in June and the area director of East Africa. And him and Dana sit right up there every time they're here in service and in town. And many of you know the story, and I won't go into it tonight, today, because in June he's going to take a little window that morning to tell the miraculous deliverance that God gave Greg. But it began with a little illness just on his bottom lip, didn't know what that was, felt like kind of a little boil or something before you knew it. And the doctor said on the following Monday after surgery, from a Wednesday to a Monday, an expert African doctor that practices here in the U.S. just happened to be home there in Kenya. Greg just happened to, and I know Greg well enough, he won't go across town for anything in traffic. He would just wait it out. That's Greg. He'd wait till the next day. That's Greg. But for some reason, a friend of theirs, a nurse, said, I think you better go now. And he went across town that Thursday morning, and that doctor immediately began an antibiotic. And on Monday, he said, Greg and Dana, had we not began it within 1 hour, you would be a dead man today. God is good. And God works through medicines. And God works in ways, mysterious ways beyond us. And just knowing, I don't know why God arranged it that way. But Greg went, and he followed the prompt. He says, I don't even know why I did that. But that doctor said, had we delayed 1 hour, you'd be gone. You'd be gone. We need to give God praise in those moments. Many times we're unaware of what God is doing on our behalf as in that situation. Another reason is we forget to return praise. David Nelson, are you here tonight? David and Carolyn, are they here tonight? They always sit here. I know they would never be over here because that would mean they change seats, so that'd be strange. Well, we had David come and share Of course, what God had done in his life. I believe we have to return praise to the Lord. We had two of our gals, and one of them I know is here tonight, stand here when we opened our year out in prayer to stand and testify, this is what God did for me in healing me last year. We do that because we need to return the praise to the Lord. That's why I want Greg to stand here and tell Central Assembly what God did for him. And many times, why is there a gap? Because many times we forget to praise God for what he has done. Can you imagine forgetting, but think about those 10 lepers. Only one came back. The other 9 just went on their way in life. Isn't that amazing? But you know what? God has done so much for me in my life. And at times I just forget to return praise. And we need to always remember that. To see God truly work through his gifts to man, it is an amazing thing. And I believe that with Greg. As we sat at dinner with Greg and Dana Beggs recently, and they told us the whole story, it is, oh, the church has to hear that. But one thing was, you watch how God had worked over and over again. And you know what? He used people. He used people. But God does use people. Many times that's how he works. And we praise him for that. But you know, there's another point to this gap, and that is how many times we get too reliant upon man. And God wants us many times to get all the way out to the edge where there is no one there to save us but him. And it's easy because we have so much. We have technology, we have medicine, we have expertise, we have knowledge. And you know what? All of that comes from him. But many times we turn to that and we forget to go to him. I do that so often. I'm sure you do tonight. Many times that's a reason for the gap. And so we need to realize tonight, number 2, just because we don't see the miraculous on a normal basis does not negate anything from Scripture. There are some reasons many times. The third thing is this: those who lived the supernatural also lived normal lives. See, there are times between the miracles. Life went on. As you read the story of Elijah, matter of fact, that struck me as I was going through it this week. And I reflected to realize we jump in sometime later and then 3 years later. Well, what happened in between? Oh, it was just miracle after miracle after miracle. No, he had some pretty doldrum days, I'm sure. Elijah lived a life just like you and I live, quote unquote, in that day. But there were certain times that God was doing supernatural things in his life. And that's why even the sheer humanness of people like Elijah. Remember what Elijah did? After Mount Carmel, just mind-blowing, isn't it? After Mount Carmel, 850 prophets have stood before him. They have done all they can do to their God, and he doesn't answer. And one man stands alone, and the entire nation of Israel has a revival and return to God. And what does Elijah do? He hears that Jezebel's mad, and he runs, and he pouts. Isn't that amazing? Well, it amazes me. But you know what? James 5:6 says it. James gleaned from Elijah. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. Say it with me. Elijah was a man just like us. Why is that there? It's to remind us that we're human. It's to remind us that Moses, Abraham, you name it, doesn't matter, David, a man after God's own heart, that we're all just human. We are frail. We are more fragile than we realize. And any time that we get where we just kind of like a peacock putting out our feathers, you know, the truth of the matter is we need to humbly walk before the Lord because we're just fragile people. It seems like I've been reminded of that just recently over some certain situations. Imagine you just realize we're just human. Every one of us are human, just like Elijah. But you know what? That's the beauty of it. What he says here is Elijah was a man just like us, but he prayed earnestly it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. In other words, God uses frail people. God uses people that are marred by sin. God uses people that at times go and pout and say, oh God, I'm no better than my ancestors. You better believe it, Elijah. You're just a man, but God used him mightily. All of us here tonight, it's only but by the grace of God that we receive anything from God. It's not us. All the glory goes to him. And so as we pray and believe, like with Elijah, it's just that we're people of prayer, believing in faith that God will answer our prayer and our needs. Number 4, 2 key elements for tonight: our faith and the yielding to the Holy Spirit. Faith and yielding to the Holy Spirit. To talk about faith just for a moment, it seems that God does very few things apart from faith. But there are moments that God sovereignly, in his own stead, does what he chooses to do. And I praise God in those moments because he has all power. He's a sovereign God. He's king of the universe. He's the creator of all things. But you know, when it comes to his interaction with man, I can hardly find any time that God did something where faith wasn't involved. It comes down to faith. It comes down to us believing God for whatever it is that we have need of. What is it that pleases God? This is what we're walking through on our Sunday morning. It's that we believe that he is and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. To believe that he exists. How many of you believe that God is tonight? And we believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek after him, praise him. And we come to him in faith tonight then. It's not solely the key though, otherwise we're just into metaphysics. If it's just simply faith, you can have faith in anything. You could come here in the corner and hum and cross your legs and put your hands in a certain position, just hum all night long and put faith in that. But we're here tonight to put faith in God, to put faith in his word, to put faith in him. Matter of fact, faith to me, most importantly, is in two things. Faith in the word, which gives us faith, builds our faith. And secondly, faith in the relationship that we have with God. He is our Father. And every good gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whose there's no shadow of change. That same God, yesterday, today, and forever. Thoughts on yielding. Yielding to the Holy Spirit. See, tonight is not about any of us here. Whatever need we have physically, financially, whatever it is, we need of the grace of God. And that comes now through the work of the Holy Spirit. And there are 9 gifts, not 1 or 2 or 3. There are 9 gifts. One of them is a gift of miraculous powers. Another would be a gift of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Another would be healing, tongues, interpretation, yes. But there are other gifts of the Spirit. And we need tonight to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is the one who imparts these 9 gifts to us, that he wants to move among us. Holy Spirit, move here, we pray. Jesus, baptize us and then let those gifts of the Spirit flow in our lives. There's 9 of them. We need to remember and believe in all of them tonight and yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. It's hard sometimes, but we have to get out of the way and just let God be God. Please tonight, no one here, as we begin to pray, and we're going to ask the prayer team in just a few minutes to come and just stand all across the front. I've invited a few others to join, definitely Denny and Sandy. I want you to join us if you would. And there will be many here across the front to pray over you. But could I let you know right now, none of us praying are the key. It's God's work. We work together with him, simply agreeing in faith, coming to him in simple, humble, childlike faith tonight, and asking him to move. But it's a work of the Holy Spirit that we need. It is not by might or by power, but it is by the Spirit of God tonight. We need to yield to him. And I wanted to add 5 tonight. And that is this. There is still redemption at work, even when God doesn't answer my prayer. Say, oh, you're just bringing doubt in. No, I'm not. I want to talk to you as we close here and come to prayer about where faith is involved here. Because many times when we are delayed in the answer to prayer, that's the greatest moment that God is growing us and stretching us. Could you imagine if every single time you had a sniffle, every single time, whatever it might be in your life, you just prayed instantly, God just, I mean, wouldn't life be a piece of cake? And we would just know. And that's why when people deduce it that everything is simply a lack of faith, it's just not the case. I know I've had the faith of a mustard seed when it hasn't uprooted that tree and thrown it into the sea. I know that I had more than a mustard seed of faith. And that's all Jesus said I needed. So something else is at work. The enemy's at work, yes. And there are other times that God is stretching and allowing me to go through whatever those circumstances are. Ah, but there's another take on this, and I'll close with this. One of our great, great missionaries emailed me this week. And he said, Jeff, he'd heard about what we're going to be focusing on tonight. And he said he was in Italy with 2 other great missionaries, he said. And he said, we were just talking about the many times that we prayed for God to heal and nothing has happened. And he said, later one of them sent me an email reflecting on our talk. And he said, it was so beautiful that he said, it made me and he said, it made my wife cry as we sat and we read this. The young man who writes this to me, if I said his name, a lot of you know who he is. He is one of our strongest, most cutting edge, out there on the radical edge of what God is doing in missions in the Assemblies of God. And this brother of his sent him this after the three of them talked. Here's what he said. Suppose we lay hands on somebody and they're instantly healed. Great. God gets glory because he shows his compassion, his power over evil, etc. But suppose we lay hands on somebody and they're not healed at all, as far as we know. And then we do it again later, and again with someone else later, still with nothing happening. It seems like God gets a different kind of glory. He can elbow the devil in the ribs and say, quote, look at that. There's a guy who believes so firmly in my goodness that he keeps expecting me to do something for people, even though he hasn't seen anything happen the last 50 times. You got anybody like that, devil? End quote. Amen. All sin, including the devil's fall, boils down to doubting God's goodness. The devil had a position in the very height of heaven and still accused God of being unfair. When humans living in a fallen world experience reverses and still praise and trust God, I have to think that he loves that. So there's a side of it, just like Job. That Job, even though God, he went through so much, it says he did not accuse God and he held on to his integrity. And he trusted God to the end. And what did God do? Because God is so good. God brought all of it back times over and blessed Job. Amen? And so as we come to this tonight, let's come in faith believing. But no matter what, we leave these doors tonight and we say, God, you are great and you are good and you are my Father. And I believe you. I believe you that everything is in your hands tonight. We serve a wonderful, great God. So come back to me if you will. The Lord said to Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? If you look to the screen with me tonight, I want us to state this together, if you would, out loud together. Believing with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. That he is able to do far more than we could ask or imagine. Ephesians 3:20. And that there is power where two agree on anything in prayer. Matthew 18:19-20. I am asking Central Assembly to agree with me for the following miracle. And we're going to pray tonight.